Well, I'd like to read you a short poem by the layman Pong and then comment on it a little bit. So he wrote, "My daily activities are not unusual. I'm just naturally in harmony with them, grasping nothing, discarding nothing. In every place, there's no hindrance. No conflict. Who assigns the rank of vermilion and purple? The hills and mountains' last speck of dust is extinguished. My supernatural power and marvelous activity, drawing water and carrying firewood." So he says, "My daily activities are not unusual. I'm just naturally in harmony with them, grasping nothing, discarding nothing. In every place, there's no hindrance, no conflict. Who assigns the rank of vermilion and purple? The hills and mountains' last speck of dust is extinguished, and my supernatural power and my marvelous activity, drawing water and carrying firewood." So this verse in many ways speaks for itself, and explanation will only dampen its effect. Yet I'd like to say a couple things. You might think this verse has a pastoral feel, written in a simpler, easier, more straightforward time. But this would be far from the truth. The layman Pong and many of the great teachers of old, both male and female, lived in trying circumstances and times. The Pong family lived in the 8th and 9th century of southern China, during a time of wars, floods, famines, heavy taxes and inflation that affected all classes of people, both rich and poor, educated and not. And within that tumult, Pang lived, married, and had a home with a hermitage nearby, and two children, a boy and a girl. The family made its way by making and selling bamboo utensils. And the layman and his daughter often wandered, visiting and querying China's best Zen teachers. No one knows how the wars, famines, and upheaval affected him and them. But some circumstance turned them toward a life of pilgrimage. Something, or some things, no one knows, turned the layman and his wife from a middle-class lifestyle with two children and a home to wandering. And this new lifestyle was strenuous and spare. But chopping wood, carrying water, making and selling roadside utensils was experienced as harmonious and marvelous. He and they were not only satisfied in their conditions, but fulfilled by them. In today's culture, this alone can be seen as a supernatural accomplishment. Fulfilled and fulfilling by the ordinariness of things. The layman said, "My daily activities are not unusual. I'm just naturally in harmony with them." Another way to say this might be, When you were chopping the vegetables, when cleaning the toilet, when calling deaf-eared senators, when walking with signs in front of the federal building. Just enjoy chopping. Enjoy calling. Enjoy cleaning and walking. Find fulfillment. Let them fill you all the way through so there isn't two. I am doing this for that. There is simply calling, simply walking, simply chopping, simply cleaning. And if you're in a sad place, do sad, sad moo. If happy place, happy moo, or happy who hears. Let yourself be where you are and what you are, 100%. And when you aren't able to give 100%, give completely of your 75%. Give 100% of your 60%. Or give 100% of your 50%. I do not know the character that is being translated as harmony. But in English, the root of harmony means simply to join with. Whatever you are doing or feeling, do not separate from, but join with. Lean towards, move towards. Move not towards results and objective, but move towards the very thing you are involved in, whether big or small. Whether important or ordinary. The layman Pong says that he doesn't grasp at or reject. He doesn't add or subtract, include or exclude. He simply, like us, sits. He sits in the middle of his life and in the life of this unfolding planet. Where he, and as importantly, we have the responsibility and the joy of having to step forward and do something and say something. Even if that doing sometimes is just sitting with a question. Even if that saying sometimes is just a hello to an unpleasant neighbor. When we are guided by the intimate involvement in each single activity, when we are guided by the continuously shifting braid of our daily activities, which are not unusual, we can trust. We can have confidence that the natural harmony of being and non-being will lead us, even when the moon is down. And the night frighteningly cold, and the way before us seemingly unclear. Zen is embedded in the details, in the ordinariness of life. It is so wedded to ordinary that the ordinary is heightened and becomes super ordinary. And when everything then drops away, when we're left with only this, with this chopping, with this walking, with this sitting, with this talking to a neighbor, all that is right here. Here in this breath. Here. In the creaking of knees of the person sitting next to you. here in the deep sigh of a little child who doesn't have enough to eat tonight. All we are left with is the supernatural power of eating when hungry, of sleeping when tired, and groaning when standing with aching knees and backs and hearts. And needless to say, the supernatural has little, if anything, to do with mindless consumption of our small earth's beauty and bounty. The supernatural has nothing to do with the violent unconsciousness of many in Washington, D.C. The supernatural is what leads the stars over the dark mountains which surround the valley that I live in. This supernatural is what pulls the creeks and rivers to the Pacific Ocean. This natural is what guides the geese south in the autumn and north in the spring. And this natural, too, is what brings you back to the Zendo each morning to sit, to each day, to sit, to go to work, to come home. It is what guides you. Even though you may feel tired and achy from so long, this natural is right here in drawing water and carrying firewood. It's in driving the kids to soccer practice and shopping at the local bookstore. It is in welcoming friends over for dinner or crying for another mass shooting in America's commons. It is right here. But we have to see through our nearsightedness, see through our foreshortened ways of perceiving and speaking, and of thinking and feeling. You know from your days and weeks, years, and for many decades of Zazen, how often the narrator tenaciously, unrelentingly demands to hold its position as central. Only one insecure would assert itself so vociferously, over and over and over. I am, it says, I am, I. Pay attention to the narration. And notice, the teller is always at center, creating and substantiating. While sitting, stay open not to the story. Stay not open to the narrator and narration, but stay open to that which is yearning, yearning to come home, desiring to know. And it is from there that we move effortlessly and joyfully into the dailiness of our lives. And that is touching the ordinary, the superordinary, of simply standing, of simply sitting, of simply lying down, and simply walking.